Welcome to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Pamela and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Harshman Travel Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. You might have a chance of working with them in their business ventures and your travel plan. So listen in and enjoy the journey. Now on to our Building Fortunes Radio Show with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Let's get started, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingle's here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. It's a Friday night. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Every Friday at 8:30, we do a radio show with the Harshman Travel Radio Show. Pam Harshman and Ron Harshman are the special guests. They own harshmantravel.com. And the way this whole thing got started is Pam was a customer of ours, and then one thing led to another. And when we started doing Building Fortunes Radio, I said, you know, I want to have some really great guest hosts that will be perfect for people to be able to follow. And Pam always did such a great job with building a home-based business. I asked her to become part of our radio shows. And she kindly told me that, you know, we're not going to be doing that anymore, Peter. We're going to be doing something like a traditional travel agency. And I said, oh, wow. So let's do some radio shows, because a lot of our Building Fortunes Radio customers, you know, they travel and they're looking for good deals and they always need good, reliable customer service and all that sort of stuff. And it's very interesting, a little bit of a side tangent. I was speaking to a gal that I referred over to Pam, but one thing that she said to me, she had sold her house. She's planning on doing some stuff and maybe cruising for a little bit in between when she finds her residence or regular residence. And I said, you should really go on a cruise. She said, think about that. And I said, you know, I have people that do the radio shows with us, harshmantravel.com. And she said, people, there's real travel agents anymore? Like, she didn't think they existed. Like, she thought they were like dinosaurs. They don't exist anymore. They went extinct. And I'm like, of course not. You should use Harshman Travel. And she said, so good, because I was a little bit concerned, like, where was I going to go, and was I going to get a good deal, and was I going to have any problems along the way? So I said, no, you got to make sure you use harshmantravel.com. So they're probably going to do that as well. So the reality is that if you are looking to make sure that your travel plans go right and nice and smooth and you get the customer service you deserve, you want to check out harshmantravel.com. Now, I need you, meaning a Building Fortunes radio listener, to have the same level of confidence that I have. So I figured, okay, let's do some radio shows, and we'll do the first half, where people hear a little bit about your background. You can sling some sentences together. They can feel how good you are. And then we'll take a commercial break. And then after the commercial break, Ron Harshman covers some of the new stuff that's going on in the travel industry. And I'll share with you, by the time you're done listening to Ron, you'll say, I had no idea it was anything like that. That's crazy. So if you want to do some cruising, you probably should. And I'm thinking that some people, Ron and I were just talking about the elections just before we got started, probably the safest place for you to be around November 3rd or whatever that second, that first Tuesday in November would be, is somewhere in the middle of a friggin' ocean. So you probably want to be
after you vote.
Somewhere out there. Yep, after you vote. But you want to be there. You want to be there, because who knows what's going to happen. So anyway, so having said that, thanks for being here. Pam, we'll go to ladies first.
Hey, Peter. I have been referred to a lot of things as I've gotten older, but definitely not a dinosaur.
Right, true.
Really? Anyway, a little bit about my background. I started my working years as a 911 dispatcher up in the Pacific Northwest. Did that for several years. And slow but sure, worked myself up into court administration. Absolutely loved my job. However, when I met my husband, that long-distance relationship thing was kind of for the birds. So I moved down to sunny Florida to be with him. And once down here, I didn't want to start down at the bottom of the ladder, you know, kind of go through all the politics of getting up the ladder. So I was looking for something that I could do primarily from home and independently. I ended up getting my realtor's license, and then I followed that up with my broker's license and sold real estate in South Florida for several years. just wasn't my niche. So I went and I got my life and health insurance license and sold Medicare supplements to the senior population. I absolutely loved it. I loved going and visiting with the seniors and answering questions and giving them information. For the most part, most of them, what they knew is what they were getting off the television commercials with Joe Namath and other folks. And so it was very satisfying for me to sit down with them and help them navigate through the whole insurance bit. At the same time, it was very fun because I never knew what I was going to walk into day by day. Sometimes it would be just a couple or a single person, but other times I'd have, like, they'd be stopping a bunco game so I could talk to all of them at the same time, or a couple times I've had gals that had a full tea party set up, and we sat there and went through the motions of the tea party while we talked, and it was a longer appointment than normal, but it was a lot of fun. And at the same time, when all this is going on, I kept getting these carrots dangling in front of my face on my Facebook news feed, and that was regarding home-based businesses, MLMs. And I tried several. A couple I didn't have so much good luck with, but a couple of them were super good, and as you had alluded to earlier, I was a customer of yours at that time, and we kind of hit it off and just stayed good friends ever since. But I learned a lot doing the marketing like that, and was able to get our own website up and going from things that I had learned in some of our different classes that we had. One day I was out on my travels, and I got a phone call out of nowhere from a girlfriend of mine that out of the blue she just said, you know, Pam, have you and Ron thought about becoming travel agents? And I was absolutely floored. It hadn't been even a week since Ron and I had talked about our bucket lists and where we wanted to go, and we were going to prioritize our lists and all that good stuff. And so when she said that, I couldn't wait to get home. It's like she was a fly on the wall or something. Once home, we did some research on the internet, and we kind of weighed our options and made our pros and cons list, and ultimately decided to move forward. Got all the education we could get our hands on, and then all the proper licensures. And I do have to say, we have probably done a whole lot more traveling than we would have done otherwise. And that was a whole lot of fun until that big C word and COVID hit. That kind of killed the travel industry worldwide. I mean, we were locked down with everybody else. However, things are back to normal, which I am glad to say, and we are booking folks right and left going all over the world because basically everything's been lifted, and so it's been good now, and we're starting to do our own traveling as well. So it's been a positive thing now moving forward.
Excellent. Okay, good. And then, Ron, over to you.
Hey, thanks, Peter. Good to be with you again. My background is very different from Pam's. Spent many years as a licensed clinical psychologist. And in addition to my own clinical practice, my own clinical work, I was also heavily involved in the behind-the-scenes self-regulatory aspect of the profession. When I first got started, a good friend of mine, a mentor, suggested that it would be good for me to get involved in the Provincial Association of Psychologists. She felt that I had a lot to offer, but she also felt that I would get a lot and gain a lot from being involved just in terms of seeing all of the behind the scenes workings and everything. And I did follow up with her recommendation. I got heavily involved at the provincial level, and after a couple of years, made my way into the national association. And after a while, I was very fortunate to be elected as the chairperson of the applied division of the Canadian Psychological Association. Was on their board of directors and served on several ethics committees and professional affairs committees, interagency committees, government relations committees, etc. So really got a very wide awakening to the stuff that goes on behind the scenes that very, very few professionals ever become aware of, regardless of the profession. I think that most professionals may join their professional association. They may attend their, the annual meeting of the association. But that's the extent to which they are involved and in which they know what's going on. There's a very, very limited number who do choose to get involved in the actual behind-the-scenes working. So it was a very eye-opening, very instructive, but also very, very rewarding. At the end of my career, I was very, very honored to be elected as a lifetime fellow of the Canadian Psychological Association. So it was something that I certainly contribute a lot into, but also got a lot out of in terms of just a lot of satisfaction of seeing how we could really personally affect how things were working within the profession. It did open my eyes to some things that were very unwelcome, things that I really could have gone without seeing, but sitting on ethics committees, etc., I got to see a lot of behavior from other licensed people who really should not have been licensed, and obviously on the ethics committee, unfortunately, we ended up having to take people's licenses away from them. But in any event, in terms of my own clinical practice, I really was very fortunate in my undergraduate and graduate training to have a number of professors who really stressed the fact that if we were intending to become private practitioners at all, at any time, it would really be important for us to gain as much varied clinical experience as we could and to work with as many different clinical populations as we could, because when you do go into private practice, you really don't have any say in terms of who's going to call you to make an appointment, what their problem situation is, what challenges they are facing in their life. And if all of that is totally foreign to you, if you have no understanding of what they're even talking about, it's just very, very easy to do a lot more damage than good. So I took that advice very much to heart and really made the determination that while I was in training and certainly before I ever looked at opening a private practice, I committed to working for pretty much every service that there was available, every different kind of social service delivery system. And as a result of doing that, it really did come in to my advantage, because when I went into private practice, there weren't a whole lot of times when I was confronted with a patient and I had no idea of where they were coming from. So it was really good advice, and I was very glad to have followed it. Primarily, when I did open my own private practice, I ended up doing a lot of work in the courts. I got heavily involved in disputed custody cases, where a number of my clients were involved in divorces, and unfortunately for many, many people in that situation, very, very immature. Unfortunately, they tend to see their children as the last battleground where they can attempt to really hurt their about-to-be ex-partner. And unfortunately, as a result of that, we really saw some very, very ugly kind of things going on. In any event, just by luck, I was fortunate to have my timing just right, because when I did get heavily involved in that field, there was a major change going on in the court systems. Up until that time, there had pretty much been a foregone conclusion that if you had a young couple going through divorce and there were young kids involved, the courts would grant custody to mommy and visitation to daddy. And although that decision worked out okay in many situations, we were starting to see too many where it did not work out too well, and in some where it was really turning out to be a very bad situation. So as a result of that, the court system changed, and the Canadian system was first to make the change. Because in Canada, the Divorce Act is a piece of federal legislation, which means that all divorces are handled at the Supreme Court level, and the Supreme Court judges across the country have very, very collegial relationships. They meet on a semi-annual basis year-round, and their summer conference in Banff and is almost always a groundbreaking meeting for them. And this particular year, the same year that I got heavily involved in working in the courts, the Supreme Court justices came back from their Banff conference having made the decision that going forward, all decisions with regard to child custody and access had to be based on the psychological best interest of the children involved, rather than just automatically mommy gets custody, daddy gets visitation. So very fortuitously, I was in the right place at the right time, was very fortunate to be able to work with a number of other practitioners, both clinical social workers and clinical psychologists, and we got together and we formulated some standardized ways of evaluating the situation, doing the child custody investigations, and then also being able to go into court and represent the best interests of the children without being the hired gun for either mommy's or daddy's attorney. So it was very eye-opening. It was very, very heavy work, obviously, but very, very rewarding work. When Pam and I got together, we weren't together all that long before we decided to semi-retire. We moved from Southeast Florida over to Southwest Florida, started raising alpacas, and as Pam indicated, she started getting involved in MLMs, multi-level marketing, home-based businesses, etc. Although I wasn't involved in that, I was certainly very supportive of her doing it. But when she came home and said that she really wanted us to talk seriously about the possibility of becoming professional travel consultants, that was something that just grabbed both of us. From my perspective, I really felt that it would give me the opportunity to do similar work to what I've been doing in my clinical practice. But in my clinical practice, I was always working with families, with people, turning on lights, holding up mirrors, helping people make decisions. But it was always stressful life situations that we were dealing with. As a professional travel consultant, the same thing would be happening, turning on lights, holding up mirrors, etc., helping people make decisions. But it would always be good life situations. Couples getting married, and anniversary plannings, retirement parties, multi-generational vacation packages, retirement, major life accomplishment, 50-year anniversaries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I really felt that if we could get involved and make sure that we were doing things the right way and that we were working with those vendors who had similar interests in, that we did in terms of giving people the best value for their dollars, et cetera, it could really work out well. We made the decision to do that. We got all the training, was able to get heavily involved with the Cruise Lines International Association, which was the international association of all the major cruise lines, and was able to meet many of the top executives of the different cruise lines, and really allowed us to pick out those vendors that we definitely felt comfortable with. And we have really enjoyed doing a lot more travel than we ever would have been able to had we not become professional consultants. And until COVID came along, things were getting better and better. When COVID hit, the whole travel industry was really decimated. But during that time, Peter, you and I continue to have our optimistic outlook, and we were very much prognosticating in a certain direction, and it's turned out very, very good. We're very, very thankful that our positive prognostications have proven to be very, very accurate. I can very clearly and honestly say that things are back, and they are much bigger and better than ever before. So after break, we'll be able to talk about some more examples of that.
Perfect. Okay, good. We're going to take a little commercial break. Make sure you check them out on harshmantravel.com, harshmantravel.com. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Miegel. This special segment can be heard again with almost any device connected to the Internet by going to buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Listen in often and get to know Pam and Ron. Go to the buildingfortunesradio.com website to listen in to the show. No matter where you're at in life, you can benefit by listening to and by working with Pam and Ron. Let them book your next cruise, vacation getaway, or group event. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio and witness their ability to pursue their dreams in the field they love. Thanks for listening. And now, back to the Harshman Travel Radio Show.
And we're back. Peter Mingles here with Pam and Ron Harshman. And something I said a little bit earlier as we were starting to introduce this, a lot of people forgot that there are real travel agents ready to be able to handle your stuff. You just don't have to go to a website and be just a consumer from a website where you get no attention. So, Ron, over to you.
Really, thanks, Peter, and yes, that's very, very true. There are real travel consultants, and people are finding that it's very easy to book your own travel online. The cruise lines, the different vendors, the resorts, etc., airlines, car rental places, they all have websites. They all have the availability of going on and doing your own setting up of things, hopefully finding the best deals. But once you get into that habit and once you actually do book whatever you're booking in that way, if things go well, that's great. You've made a good choice and you're just fine. But if there is any bump in the road that you run into, you very quickly find out that you can try to access that website and go round and round and round trying to find somebody who is going to take the time and effort to work with you and solve your problem or even hear about your problem. And unfortunately, in many, many cases, you end up finding that you are all alone, and you can sit and talk to your computer till the cows come home, Your problems are going to remain your problems, and your money that you've invested is going to, in many, many cases, too many cases, end up down the drain because there's no comeback. There's nothing that you can do to say, you know, I should have been given better advice. I should have been told that there was this restriction. I should have been told that I couldn't do this or that or whatever. And people can find all kinds of tales of very, very dramatic negative experiences. Just go online and go through. You can find lots and lots of people complaining about their experience, having done it themselves. The advantage of using a bona fide, licensed travel representative, booking representative, is that that person knows you. They know exactly, if they're doing their job, they know what you were looking for, what your strong points were, what your concerns were, and they were able to present you with a number of options that allowed you to make the best choices for yourself in terms of the right amount of money, the right amount of time, the right amount of activity, et cetera, et cetera. And the most important advantage is that if anything goes wrong, if there is a problem, you have that consultant available who is there as your representative with the vendor, whether it's the airline or the cruise or the car rental or whatever. And that travel consultant is the one who's going to make things right for you and resolve your problem and get things fixed. And doing it yourself doesn't allow that. The other thing that most people are very unaware of is that professional travel consultants, because of the volume of reservations and bookings that they make with these different vendors, they have opportunities, sales, amenities, different kinds of you know, good bonus points, etc., that are available to them that are not available to the general public and are certainly not available to you when you go online and do your own booking. So if you do connect with a licensed and professional travel consultant, you not only are going to have the safety valve that is very, very important, but you're also going to have the best opportunity to get the best value for your dollar and the best use of your time and the best options for you to consider in terms of making your travel experience as wonderful as you would like it to be. So just an advice to the wary, definitely you are 1,000% better off using a professional travel consultant than you are using the vendor's personalized website that is not going to take your personal needs or requirements into consideration at all. Okay, a number of things that have gone on this week. MSC Cruises has a 116-night cruise that is starting in January of 2025. They have just made the decision that they will not be going to the Red Sea. They are having to change their itinerary, and they will be going to the Cape of Good Hope and continuing on to the Mediterranean via the west coast of Africa instead of what we talked about this a number of times, but the situation over there is just too questionable and up in the air, and all of the cruise lines are making the same kind of changes, basically for the protection of their clients and crew members. So these changes are just being made. They are very demonstrative of the cruise industry's concern for staying very much abreast of what's going on in the world and making sure that they can provide as safe a vacation as they are able to. Carnival Cruise Lines just announced that they signed a multi-year partnership with the League's Cup soccer tournament in North America. This is Major League Soccer, and it's interesting because the tournament features 47 different clubs competing in 77 different matches, and Carnival will be the official cruise line in partnership with the League's Cup, and there will be special sailings and pricing, etc., because of that connection. So that was good to hear about. Holland America this week announced that in 2026 they are going to have a number of celestial events. And these are going to be seeing sights like the Northern Lights, total solar eclipse, the summer solstice above the Arctic Circle. And they are coming up with these various cruise itineraries that are being scheduled right around these natural highlight events. And anybody who is interested in really experiencing firsthand any of these wonders of the world now have a good opportunity with Holland America to be on a cruise and be as close up and personal as possible to participate in any of these events. CEO of Royal Caribbean Group came up with a very interesting announcement this week, and again, it's one that has seconded information that we have talked about before. They said that their new-to-cruise customers are up, the number of new-to-cruise customers that they are presently booking, the number is up double digits compared to 2023. So again, we've talked about this before, that there are so many people who are becoming aware of the cruise experiences, and obviously those people who have taken cruises before, the repeat customers, are there in very large numbers. But what has been evident basically for, I guess, probably the last 8-9 months I've been reporting on this, that each of the cruise lines is finding that their new reservations and bookings are coming from people who are brand new to the cruise experience. So as I've said many, many times, cruising has not only come back, they have come back bigger and stronger than ever before, and I think we're going to continue seeing that growth continue to grow. I mean, it's amazing. If you had asked me, you know, 6 months ago whether we would be anywhere close to where we are now, I would have said, well, that's a wishful thinking, but it would be nice. But here it is, reality, and I have no question about the fact that 6 months from now, we're going to be in bigger and better territory, and we will have more things to announce that really are going to underline the return of the cruise industry bigger and better than ever before. So it's just nice to see. During the second quarter, financial announcements from Norwegian Cruise Lines Holdings, that's Norwegian, Oceania, and Regent, their bookings are, as I say, as everybody else has been announcing, way up. And what they are finding, the announcement from their CEO, very clearly focused on both pre-book onboard revenues and the different things that they are finding that are really adding to their positive numbers in terms of financials, but also in terms of the positive things that people are looking for when they look at cruising. The number of specialty restaurants, communication services, things that are on available on board, both in terms of purchases, their onboard revenue, the numbers are just continuing to blow everyone away. They said that their pre-booked onboard revenue was up 15% during the quarter, and they are expecting that these numbers are going to continue to grow. They're finding that people who are booking are looking for maximizing the enjoyment of their experience, and they are signing up for different experiences, both land excursions, etc., but also different activities on board, and are really looking to just make the most out of their cruise experience. So it's really something to see, and I think we're going to continue to see things very, very much in the positive light going forward. One of the Norwegian Cruise Line ships that is coming in for an update experience and coming in to be in dry dock, they came out with a listing of the different things that will be done to this ship in terms of the number of enlargements of spaces, in terms of the different locations on board that they are putting together. They will have a laser tag arena, a new adults-only complimentary outdoor area, number of things, expanding their restaurants. Pam will be happy to know that they announced that Cagney Steakhouse and Teppanyaki, the Japanese restaurant that we frequently go to whenever we are on board Norwegian, they both of those will have greater capacity. They will be taking over more space on the respective ships, and obviously there are more Norwegian passengers than us who enjoy those restaurants, so they're making the restaurants bigger and better, so when we have our next trip on Norwegian, we will definitely be experiencing the expanded Teppanyaki.
That's
okay.
The best steak ever.
Last thing that I wanted to say about this this week's different kinds of announcements that came out And it really speaks to a message that I've been giving for the last several months about how impressed I am in seeing how the different cruise lines actually participate with the ports of call that they visit and really become very much movers and shakers in the economy, etc. Carnival Corporation has been named by Forbes as one of America's best employers for women in 2024. So top recognition highlights Carnival Corporation as the top-ranked cruise company among the top 600 companies across 25 industries, commended for creating a positive and inclusive work environment for women. So it's nice to see, and it's a very nice award for Carnival, and just the cherry on top of the ice cream.
Oh, you're so weird.
Okay. You get your desserts messed up. Yeah, anyway, all great stuff. I mean, it is unbelievable to see what's happening in the cruise industry. All these choices, all these options, and bigger and better than even it was before COVID. Absolutely amazing.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah, it's said that.
Cost-effective compared to any other type of travel.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Very, very much the most economical way to travel, and certainly the best bang for the buck.
Excellent. Well, we're going to catch everybody next week on Building Fortunes Radio. We will be here, and barring any kind of a storm or whatever, we should be still on, you know, no other interruptions. Make sure you check them out. Go to buildingfortunesradio.com/Harshman or Harshman Travel, or go directly to harshmantravel.com. And Pam and Ron, well, we will see you next week.
All righty. Have a good week, everyone. Take care.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear previous radio shows with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.